Sabbath blessings, everybody. They might have a good volume. You know, the kiddies were jumping around by the mixer, so there's a possibility that I may be over-modulating a little. I'm good. And Dong, good. Goog. Watch, the people keep falling out. That's what I'm trying to lower to ache. Okay. All right, if you can kneel where you're at. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with salvation. We love you, we trust you, we worship you, and we seek to glorify you. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for leading us down the path of life to teach us how to be more like your Son. We thank you, Father, for the trials and tribulations and the good times. Help us to grow. We thank you for the heads of angels that you always have about our loved ones, especially those that are sick and ailing. We especially looked up my son Luke. He's going through a great, great trial at this time. Let this be for you, glory, so that he can have a testimony for all those in the world to see you glorified. We also lift up baby Ava. We had a little bit of an episode last night in the middle of the night. We thank you for answering our prayer so quickly in that respect, that little baby. We thank you for keeping that head so close to us. We thank you for teaching us how to draw nigh to you, that you'll draw nigh to us. We lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we pray, Father, that you bless those that help us do this work you have called us to do. Bless them spiritually, physically, and financially in the ways that you have promised. And thank you for opening our eyes to how you bless in that respect. And how you promise. Your promises are so true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Looks like Joshua... I told Josh to come in as a moderator, so he's more or less handling the room, Fran. He usually does that without having to ask him. I just told him to come in as a mod. He knows what I mean. So, but you still have to do what you're doing there because he doesn't have that software on his computer or Teresa's computer. That's where they're at. So our family kind of split up today. We're satellites of us everywhere. We're still in the manuscripts and letters of the last day events. For those of you who actually have the book, we're on page 177. That right there tells you this isn't the one GC compiled. This is the one Let the Delight Ministries compiled. Big, big book. Manuscript 24, January 1891, should be on the top of the screen, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I almost forgot to update that this week. I did it yesterday. I mean, this has been a very eventful week, and I praise the Lord for all the trials and tribulations because, you know, it's always a blessing. I know it's really rough to go through these situations that we're going through. But when we go through them and we look back, we thank the Lord for them because it helps us grow so much. I remember the 1,011 days. I remember the miracle healings, all those things. I kind of look at, like I was talking to Rick earlier, I kind of look at this as the remnant boot camp. You know, we have to learn to trust our Lord even when it's extremely bleak. Because when it comes to that day, when we're out there during the time of Jacob's trouble, if we are called to be a light at that time, there's going to be a lot of bleak situations, and if we don't have experiences in those areas to see his hand move, we won't trust. Our faith will be weak. So sometimes these trials are an absolute necessity to help us grow Could be someone in the family that needs to see this, someone outside the family. We don't know. We trust our Lord. We will not deny Him. Okay, so manuscript 24, 1891. This could be about all we do today because it's huge, but you never know. Plus, I have something I'd like to share right before Rob starts with his message. I was reading something in the forum, the POGM forum this morning that Sister Bonnie put in the room, and I would hope everybody reads it. I think it's in current events, or no, I think it's in general discussion. It's called David's Prayer. And I just pulled out three little paragraphs out of it. But boy, it would be a real blessing if you read it today, especially on Sabbath, you know, when the show bread has changed. I mean, you could bless any day of the week, of course, but it's always nice to have that blessing on Sabbath. All right, manuscript 24, January 1891. I got to get off this spot I'm standing on. I got a squeaky nail or something over here. Hold on a second. So I have a tendency to wobble and move around a little bit. I keep going back and forth on that nail. It can be annoying. All right. When Christ shall come the second time, the whole world will be represented by two classes, the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Preceding the great sign of the coming of the Son of Man, there will be signs and wonders in the heavens. There will be crimes greater than any now on record. There will be weeping and lamentation and woe. Already sprinklings from the vials of God's wrath have been left, or have been let fall upon land and sea. Should be have been left to fall, I would think. Maybe, I don't know, that's the old English kind of thing. Have been let fall upon land and sea, affecting the elements of the air. The cause of these unusual conditions are being searched for, but in vain. Now, that's just the way scientists are. They're always trying to figure out what's going on. And it always reminds me of the Caesarea Pistitica thing. I know a lot of people who just their eyebrows probably jumped up. What do you say? Listeria pisidica is a parasite that's found in dry lake beds, and somehow it got into the oceans. They're really trying to figure that one out, but it usually is in a dry lake bed, like desert region kind of an area. And when it rains, you know what happens when it rains in a desert. You get a flash flood all the time. There's always a flash flood whenever it rains in a desert or an arid region. And it's because the land can't soak the water up. The majority of the water will run off of it if it's sloped. And then it usually puddles in areas, and that's where this Listeria pisidica parasite hits and waits, as well as mud hoppers and these little fish that are burrowed into the sand or wherever they're at. And when the water comes, it regenerates the Listeria pisidica parasites, and they have like little fishing poles or something. They look like amoebas on steroids. They look like a single-cell amoeba, but instead of being nice and smooth and on the edges, they're pointy. And they'll shoot out their tendrils attached to a fish, and then eventually the fish will die. But before the fish dies, it'll get all these boils all over its body, and it'll see toxic fluids that turns water blood red. But the scientists, like she's saying here, the cause of these unusual conditions are being searched for, but in vain. They're trying to come up with, they're saying, oh, it's an alien from another planet. They cannot understand why it's here. Well, if they would have read their Bibles, it's the way that our Lord will bring upon, you know, the blood-red waters. It's just like when that 1755 earthquake in Lisbon hit. I couldn't believe when I was reading it in the 70s, and I wasn't even a Christian then. The scientists were saying there's a possibility that a black hole hit the planet. If a black hole came anywhere near our orbit, that would be all she wrote, let alone hit us. But that was the 70s, you know. Now they know better, or so they think. Anyway, continuing, it says, God has restrained the powers of darkness from carrying forward their deadly work of vitiating the air, one of the sources of life and nutrition, with a deadly miasma. Stopping here, New Mexico comes to mind. Thanks to Beth and Carol, they sent me a DVD a month ago, maybe, about chemtrails. And I know a lot of people say, that's a conspiracy, this, that, you know. Well, yeah, it's a very possibility. Sometimes you think it's a conspiracy because so many airplanes are doing it. Even out here in the middle of nowhere, we see all these stripes in the sky. But then when you read about and see the video that Beth and Carol have in regards to these chemtrails and find out that the atmosphere in New Mexico and everywhere, but they just happened to be bringing up New Mexico. They were talking about how years ago in New Mexico, the asthma rate for newborns was 5%. Now it's 75%. Because of the atmosphere. They no longer have blue skies, not even in the morning. Usually with all these chemtrails, you'll have blue sky in the morning, and then by late afternoon, it's all white. Because all those chemtrails just start melting into each other and you get this white sky. No clouds, just white. Well, in New Mexico, that's how it is in the mornings. You wake up, it's white. You go to bed, well, right before it gets dark, it's white. You're poisoning the air, as she says, with a deadly miasma. Not only is vegetable life affected, but man suffers from pestilence. These things are the result of drops from the vials of God's wrath. Notice that, drops, okay? From the vials of God's wrath being sprinkled on the earth and are but faint representations of what will be in the near future. Earthquakes in various places have been felt, but these disturbances have been very limited. Terrible shocks will come upon the earth, and the lordly place of palaces erected at great expense will certainly become heaps of ruins. The earth's crust will be rent by the outburst of the elements concealed in the bowels of the earth, like Mount St. Helens or wherever the case may be. These elements, once broken loose, will sweep away the treasures of those who, for years, have been adding to their wealth by securing large possessions at starvation prices from those in their employ. Remember we were talking about the strikes last week? I think it was last week, the strikes, that one of the end time prophecies. People are out there working 2-3 jobs because the employers are not paying people what they're worth. And so these people are killing themselves just to pay their bills. But if they only have the time to work one job, it's a starvation crisis. You know, they're paying their employees barely enough to get by. And in some cases, it's actually better just to go on public aid or welfare and go out and get a side job and then lie. That's, you know, that's how the devil gets people to go ahead and start lying. And then use, you know, rather than trust the Lord, you know, your bread and waters are going to be sure, rather than trust the Lord to take care of you and yours like he does the birds or even the lilies of the valley, people will take it upon themselves to do what they can. One of the reasons for prostitution, you know, or drug dealers or whatever the case may be. Going on, and the religious world too is to be terribly shaken, for the ends of all things is at hand. All society is ranging into two great classes, the obedient and the disobedient. Among which class shall we be found? Those who keep God's commandments, those who live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, compose the church of the living God. Those who choose to follow Antichrist are subjects of the great apostate. Ranged under the banner of Satan, they break God's law and lead others to break it. It would be better for them that they have a millstone wrapped around their necks, you know, than to deceive one of these little ones, or to harm one of these little ones. It's sad. Going on, so Satan is averting minds with unimportant questions in order that they shall not, with clear and distinct vision, see matters of vast importance. And it reminds me of Sam Bellett, how he would sit there and cause all his problems so that Nehemiah couldn't finish working on the wall, you know? Or like we used to say, and I still say every now and then, I kind of annoy his friend, chasing rabbits, you know? Chasing rabbits, because, you know, what happens when you chase rabbits? That's why I don't mind, like, when I do the midday prayer, and I'll tell the dog, keep them bunnies, because he can't catch them. You can't catch a rabbit. They make these breakneck turns, and I don't care how fast your dog is, unless he sneaks up on the rabbit, there's just no way he's going to catch him. And that's all the devil does. He keeps you busy doing this, you know, 10 or 15 things. That's why you got to be careful, especially if you're in the ministry. Don't put too many irons in the fire, especially when they're little irons, because those little irons prevent you from doing those big jobs that the Lord would have you do. Going on, the enemy is planning to ensnare the world. The so-called Christian world is to be the theater of, you know, the theater of great and decisive actions. Men in authority will enact laws controlling the conscience after the example of the papacy. Like thought police. Because they're already talking about thought police in politics as we speak. Ever since that Hollywood movie, I forget what the movie was, but it had some, I think it was, I don't even remember what the movie was. I think Tom Cruise was in it or something. It, you know, it was all over the Minority Report, yeah, where it was thought police. Going on, Babylon will make all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. every nation will be involved. Of this time, John declares, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of their delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and now how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sour, give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Revelation 18, verses 3 to 7, of course. And yes, she does sit as a queen. The Vatican, in fact, calls her queen of heaven. And we know that's not Mary, but that's the God they worship. It's the same God that Europe worshiped. Well, okay, they called her the God of reason then, but, you know, it's more or less the same God that they had back in the pagan days. Semiramis. Going on, she quotes Revelation 17, verses 13 and 14, which says, these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. These have one mind. There will be one universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces. Amazing how she says, one universal bond of union. The word Catholic in English is universal. And now, when they're speaking in ecumenical terms in the articles, notice this. Go to WorldNet Daily or go to Times Online or go to MSNBC and read the articles in the religious realm where they're talking about the ecumenical movement or whenever the church mentions her political ends and she's doing it in a global audience. Not to the local people. When they're talking to their local parishioners, they'll say Catholic. But when they're talking in the global arena, they're calling it the universal church now. I noticed that they started doing it about 6 months ago. I mean, they've always done it, but they're really pushing it now. Going on. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary oppressive power against religious liberty. Freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy. When in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of Romanism. There's going to be a repeat of that. The reason for the catacombs. They're going to be killing Christians again. They're already doing it in Muslim areas. Most of you that get my newsletter know about the pictures that I put in that one newsletter about modern-day martyrism. They're photographing it as a banner of power against the Christian realm. Killing these people on film. Only because they're Christians. Going on, it says, in the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be, united in opposition to God's people, all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that's why the devil attacks it. He wants to be worshipped as a god. And his identifying mark of the true God is Sabbath. And so he has to have his own. He mocks the Lord in every way, shape, and form. And so he has to mock this area too, which happens to be the area, the main area. Going on, it says in Revelation 13, verses 13 to 17, we read concerning Satan, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak, legislate laws, and cause, put those laws in enforcement, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free in bond or in jail, or even slavery, because there's modern slavery today, free in bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. You know, of course, the right hand is against your will, and the foreheads is you making the decision on your own. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount, Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and as they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Hold on. Well, let me finish this up, because I'm going to turn off. Well, just hold on. Turn off the furnace. I just heard it kicking. I don't want it to go on. Okay. For they are virgins, for they these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So that's one of the characteristics that a lot of the Seventh-day Adventist people just don't catch. You know the church is in apostasy. You know your leaders have kicked Christ out. You know that's why he left. We follow the Lamb where he goes, and since you kicked him out, we're following him. We're walking out with him. Because the Lord will not be in an apostate church. Especially one where probation is closed on it. The corporate structure. It hasn't closed on the people yet. Just like in Paul's day. He went into the synagogues to get the people out. The probation closed on the synagogues. The difference is, in that time, we had an actual 490-year prophecy. We knew when it was closing. In today's world, it's kind of hard to figure when it happened, but we now have the fruits and evidence that it has happened. We just don't know the exact earmarks of when it started or when it actually went down. Going on, it says, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, or exaggeration, or white lies, or deception in any way, shape, or form. For they are without fault before the throne of God, Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5. And then she's quoting Revelation 16, verses 13 to 15, which says, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Of course, the dragon is Satan, as the Bible defines. The beast, we know, that's Roman Catholicism. The false Protestant, false prophet is the apostate Protestantism. For they are the spirits of the devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, together then to battle the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. You know, study your Bible, especially prophecy. Let the reader take note, Jesus said in Matthew 24. When he was speaking of Daniel's book. And keepeth his garments. Garments in prophecy is your walk. Lest he walk naked, which means totally outside. Well, Adam and Eve were naked after they sinned, right? Their garments were removed. Lest he walk naked and see, and they see his shame. And, of course, Adam and Eve saw their shame. Going on. Finishing up this one. It says, all things in nature and in the world at large are charged with intense earnestness. Satan, in cooperation with his angels and with evil men, will put forth every effort to gain the victory and will appear to succeed. But, and well, let me stop here, will appear to succeed. It'll get bleak. It'll get real bleak. It'll get to the point where, always try to keep in mind, too, right before they got into the promised land, Moses, it got to where he just couldn't handle it anymore. And right before his prayer was answered, right before the blessing was to be beholden, he struck the rock. And he wasn't allowed to go in. A lot of times, it's right at its bleakest point. That's when the prayer is answered sometimes. The wait on the Lord, it says in Scripture.
Everybody's falling out,
man. Hey, hold on. A lot of people are falling out.
And coming back in.
All right. Go, hit refresh. Oh, not like that. Hit rooms and users. Okay, see, it says 11, knock it down to 6. Let's try 8. Let's try 8 for a while. Hit 8. And then hit update room. Okay, now that should be able to make it a little bit more stable. Okay. All right. So Right, finishing up, it says, but from this conflict, truth and righteousness will come forth triumphant in victory. Those who have believed a lie will be defeated, for the days of apostasy will be ended. He won't be allowed to rear his ugly head again. The devil will be defeated. He will die. And to those that may be within earshot that get into the Wiccan art, knowing that in order to join a coven, you have to speak in reverse the native language of Satan, spell devil backwards. If that's what you get into, you'll see that he lived. That's past tense. He's been lying to you since day one. He will surely die. Let's go to the next one here. We've got time. How's the... is it still stable or is it still falling out?
How do you get that thing back on again?
Hit the V. Okay. Yellow V.
Alright, now, how could it have to fall?
Oops. Hit PLGM. Okay, that's it. The default is the one that comes up.
How do I get the user thing again?
Active users.
Oh.
So we're okay with everything's back to normal?
Oh, alright.
Alright, let's do the next one. We should be able to do this one, and then that'll be about it for today. I'm not sure. Letter 45, December 28, 1891. It says, there will be no probation after the coming of the Lord. Those who say that there will be are deceived and misled. And, you know, like that secret rapture thing, he will not be silent. It says very plainly in many areas of the word. There is no 7-year trib. There is no 7-nanosecond trib. Going on, it says, before Christ comes, just such a state of things will exist as existed before the flood. After the Savior appears in the clouds of heaven, no one will be given another chance to gain salvation. All will have made their decisions. In other words, when that small little cloud about the half the size of a man's hand, that's it. Those who are unjust are going to remain unjust. Those who are holy are going to remain holy. That's when we're done evangelizing. Won't be done preaching, of course, because some of us may be preaching in caves just for edification purposes. But we ain't going to be going out there seeking souls for Christ because that's it. It's done. Our work is finished. Continuing, it says, before the close of this world's history, those who are willing to accept the evidence will have the dark veil removed from their minds. Hearts will be cleansed through accepting Christ during the time that the whole world is lighted by the glory of the angel that comes down from heaven. The churches are fast being converted to the world, and we have overwhelming evidence of that fact. And keep in mind, she said this back in 1891. Now the churches, that's why we have these little home churches. That's why we are being separate. We are not touching the unclean thing. We are not defiled by these women. And we know that in Jeremiah 6:2, the word women in prophecy is churches. We're not defiled by that. As far as Kent stated the other day in the church, in the PLGM forum, we don't get into churchianity. That's what Rome teaches. That's what the SDA Church teaches now. Churchianity. They don't teach Christianity. It's churchianity. What do your leaders say? But my Bible says in Acts 5:29 that we have to obey God rather than men. Going on, it says, the churches are fast being converted to the world. They have beautiful music and splendid decorations, but they are fruitless trees, bearing nothing but leaves. In other words, they look like a fig tree, but there's no fruit. I remember when the Lord walked up to that fig tree, he saw no fruit, and before he turned around and walked away, he says, there will be no fruit that will bear on you forever. And then instantly that tree just withered away, and then the apostles started pressing him on it, and of course it was a blessing to behold. Going on, as the Lord unmasked the fig tree, so he will unmask those pretentious hypocrites. And the fig tree in prophecy is Israel. The time is right upon us when every kind of deception will be practiced. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They may speak fair words, but all the time they are watching to see how they can get gain for themselves. In other words, these are preachers of filthy lucre. They look at Christianity, a ministry, if you will, as a career rather than a calling. And a career in such where they don't want to get, you know, their creature comforts are a lot more important than going out there and, you know, trying to get, you know, souls. and stuff like that. And a lot of us have gotten complacent in that area as well, and that's why I have something I'd like to share before Rob shares what he shared, because what Rob's going to share in regards to the image of the mark of the beast is going to give us an understanding that it's here. Well, the mark isn't being enforced, but we know for a fact what this is. What do we do with this knowledge? Like when the Lord asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Did I send you here? Remember that? Going on, it says, they are full of selfishness and work at cross purposes with God, misappropriating his goods. You shall know them by their fruits, the Savior declares. In Matthew 7, verses 16 and 16. Okay, let's stop right there. We'll pick it up again next week at letter 2C, 1892. Be back in a minute.
Okay, hit Alt-R twice. You got to go in the room, and then you hit Alt.